Good morning, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. We are so glad that you have found your way to our worshiping community here on this beautiful summer day. We have a list of calendar and announcements in your bulletin for you to check out the ways that we are church together. And it is obviously July, and so this is a time in our church life where we experience Sabbath, and the committees are not meeting this month, but there are many fellowship opportunities, some of which folks were able to experience on Friday night at the fireworks and baseball game. Thank you again to Gary Dykes for organizing that. It was a wonderful evening. Also, check out the Family Fun Night happening here in a few weeks. It'll be great to have everyone there to enjoy that time together. And we've got one announcement this morning.
Good morning. Today after service, the trustees committee will need a little help if you're available to move furniture, tables, bookshelves, etc. out of rooms 2 and 3, because tomorrow we're going to strip, clean, and wax the floors. Thank you.
Is that quick?
That's good. You're excellent. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We are also this morning in worship celebrating the Lord's Supper. We will be sharing the table via intinction, which means following the prayer, we'll invite those who are comfortable and able to come forward, tear off a piece of bread, dip it into the cup, and partake individually. If you are uncomfortable standing and moving around, stay in your pew, and an usher will look out for you, and then we'll bring the elements to you. So let us now join our hearts together in a time of worship.
Please stand if you're comfortable doing so and join me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin. Come and see the works of the Spirit.
He has been gone for today.
Come and hear the awe of God. Come and touch the sacred. Come, let us worship. We sing our praises with gladness this glorious day.
Let us come to God, confessing our sins, knowing that God loves us and forgives us always. Let us pray. Holy God, why is it we can grow so weary of doing what is right, yet always energetically do that which we know is harmful to us and others? We confess that in our lives, we often hide behind the busyness of our work and play, schools and jobs, getting ahead and what is best for me. We sow seeds of selfishness and wonder why we harvest so much loneliness. Welcome us again into your divine grace, loving God, that we may be sent to share your peace. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. The Word of God assures us that we are able to love through the Spirit of Christ. Let us be sent from this place with authority, knowing that God's Word gives us strength to love our neighbors near and far. Thanks be to God.
At this time, the children are invited forward. This is a suitcase. What do you do with a suitcase? Put stuff in it. What kind of stuff? Clothes, like for every day? You guys use these at home? No? What do you use them for? For vacations? Yes. Vacations, yes. And you bring clothes on all sorts of trips. We take suitcases. And I know about 2 weeks ago, Carol Ann used a suitcase, and you guys packed it with school supplies to go to Guatemala, didn't you? Yes. And our Guatemala mission team has come back, and we will hear from them next week. But they also told me that the airplane lost some of their suitcases. So I've had that happen before. But look, so when I go on a trip, here are some of the things that I take. Look, let's see. I always take this. What's this? My pillow. I love my own pillow. So I take it with me. It helps me feel comfortable. I put my shampoo and my conditioner and my soap in this bag. And when I go somewhere hot, I like to wear a headband. It keeps my hair off my face. And in a month, when I go to Jamaica, I'm going to need this. It's my passport. And look, I even pack some clothes, my swimsuit, because I hope to go swimming. And look, yes, you did. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And look, what are these? Sandals. And in our Bible story this morning, Jesus sends his friends out on a trip. He wants them to go and share God's love with all the people that they meet. But you know what he says? He says, you don't need these. You don't need these. You don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need this. All you need is one thing. Uh-oh. And for some of us, it's harder to find than others. And I think it disappeared. I've got too many pockets in there. But you know what? What I'm looking for is the Bible. And you know what's good? I have a lot of those stories right in here and right in here. And that's what God says that we need when we go out on trips, is to share God's love with others. Do you guys think you can do that on your trips this summer? God, can we pray together? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for filling us with stories of your love. Send us out to share them. Amen. Amen. You guys can go and sit with your parents if you would like. If you're really, really little and you're feeling a bit wiggly, you can talk to mom and dad about going to the nursery. That's up to them.
If
you want to play.
The rainbow.
Yes, well, you can play in here too if you do it quietly. How does that sound? That sounds good. Okay. All right, you guys.
There's not enough toys
in here. We may have to do something about that, huh? Jeez. All the things I learn in worship. You guys have got the answers. And as our children make their way back to their seats, at this time I invite Carol Howell, who's right there. Look, you don't even have to come far. To come forward. In January, if you will recall, we celebrate Baptism of the Lord Sunday and also ordain our deacons and elders. Carol had the privilege of sitting on a beach with her suitcase in Florida at that time, and we are honored this morning to be able to celebrate together in her ordination. And so we do so with the following questions. Carol, do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge him Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? And do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus in the church universal and God's word to you? And do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith, as expressed in the confessions of our church, as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture teaches us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? And will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? And will you be governed by our church's polity and abide in its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? And will you, in your own life, seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? And do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? And will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Amen.
Will you be a faithful deacon, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Do we, the members of the church, accept Carol Howell as a deacon, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Do we agree to encourage her to respect her decisions and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ who alone is head of the church? If so, please say, we do.
And those who have previously been ordained as deacons, if you would, please come forward so that we may pray with Carol and laying on of hands. So if you've been ordained as a deacon. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon Carol that she may be a faithful deacon in your church. Give her wisdom and courage, humility and compassion to serve as a spiritual leader of this family of faith. In all things, may she be a servant leader following Christ, who came not to be served but to serve and to give his life to set others free. Amen. Congratulations, Carol. You are now an ordained, officially ordained deacon. Yes. Congratulations. Please share the peace of Christ with Carol and others around you. The peace be with you. Each other. It's all right. The peace of Christ be with you. Share it with your neighbor. You don't have to get up. You can do it right there.
The first reading of the word this morning is taken from Psalm 66. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
And our second reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects me rejects, whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And the 70 returned with joy, saying, "In your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." I have always been quite impressed at the ways in which our congregation, the creativity and the methodology we use to invite and organize volunteers for mission efforts. Perhaps it's all the engineer types that we are blessed with here at GPC, but I have never in my life seen so many sign-up sheets, spreadsheets, and systems for making sure that we know who is doing what and when and for how long. Obviously, though, this is not something we picked up from our biblical studies. As the director of the Center for Christian Leadership at Auburn Theological Seminary points out, if this story from Luke 10 tells us anything, it tells us that you do not want Jesus organizing the volunteer efforts at your church. Can you picture it? Strolls into worship, kind of stands off to the side, not in the pew where I've asked those making announcements to sit so we can move things along a little quicker, just kind of stands over there, comes up to the microphone, and he smiles. He starts by saying, "I know you Presbyterians are big on your committees, but I don't exactly have one. Hopefully you'll overlook that small detail and commit to being one of the 70 people needed this week for a mission opportunity." He's not exactly clear about the destination. It will be a chance to be located somewhere unfamiliar, possibly dangerous. But Jesus is optimistic. "Don't worry," he'll say. "There's a household that will take you in, that will feed you, provide you a place to sleep, nothing guaranteed. It all depends on the hospitality that you find. As far as what to bring, that suitcase, leave it at home. Along with your work gloves, your pillow, traveler's checks, power bars, bottles of water, your backpack, and those fancy Birkenstocks. Leave them at home. You know, don't bother with anything that will help you feel safe or make this opportunity easier. None of it's going to help you in the midst of the wolves." Oh, did I mention the wolves? Maybe Jesus should have left that part out. But he wraps it up and he looks. "All righty then, Pastor. If you don't mind, I'm just going to skip the kiosk in the hallway and get people to come on down and put their names in." 70 people. We've got that many this morning. Close, but we've got that many. So who's with me? That's kind of the response I'm guessing Jesus would receive. He might be able to learn something from a church that knows how to recruit and organize volunteers to do mission. But from our scripture text this morning, we know that Jesus wasn't asking for volunteers to do mission. Jesus appoints, he names the people right then, right there, who he is sending out into the world to do his work. And he reassures them that the kingdom of God is counterintuitive to what you know. Not everyone is going to get on board, but I have given you everything you need. So be open to where the Spirit leads you, Share God's peace, receive the hospitality, and be a healing presence wherever you go. As we begin our summer sermon series, exploring what it means for Gates Presbyterian Church to claim mission as a core value of who it is that we say that we are as followers of Christ in the world today, we turn to these stories of Scripture and unpack a bit what this word, mission, means. First of all, we might be surprised to learn that mission is not exactly a biblical word. The word itself doesn't appear in the Bible. The root missio is from the Latin, and it simply means sent. When we turn to the Bible with this definition, we find Scriptures full of stories of God's people being sent out into the world over and over again to do the work of God. Though over the centuries, our subsequent developments of missiological theologies have not always come easy as we apply those biblical stories into everyday life and practice. And we only need to turn to the first major post-biblical shift in the church's understanding of mission to see this play out. Following Jesus' death, when the early Christian community responded to God of being sent out into the world to do God's work, they faced the very real threat of being martyred for living and responding to their faith. And there is only a very short period of time, a few centuries, that the Christian reality went from martyrdom to the Christian faith being the faith imposed by the empire. It was legally mandated. And so as the power of the religious hierarchical system grew, so did a need to expand that power and support the institution through growth in numbers and acquisition of land and territory. Being sent, or the mission of the church, was commonly understood for centuries that it was specifically designated people, priests, bishop, pope, missionaries, and of course the army, that was sent out to lands and people unknown, that conquered them and converted the people in the name of Christ. This seems to be a pretty dramatic reversal of who is sent, the lambs or the wolves. And you might be thinking, wow, Melissa, this is a big leap. This doesn't exactly sound like a definition of mission that we're comfortable with or that we even know anything about. But I invite you to open your imaginations for just a moment and entertain the possibility that a few elements of part of this Christian story is still hung on to in the global West, even just the slightest bit. See, when many folks think of a mission of a particular church, we do still think that mission is done by specifically designated missionaries to places far away, or perhaps mission is done more locally by those who sign up on the kiosk to be part of the mission committee, and then they organize and collect items to give to those in need. Or possibly get folks to sign up and commit to short-term mission projects. Now, I want to be clear. There is nothing wrong with these definitions as part of our understanding of what it means to be sent. obviously as an active participant on such trips and contributor of items for such collections for those in need, and a supporter of missionaries within our own denomination, I feel that these are important ways that we can engage in mission. But there's also a new reality before us. We live in a context where Christianity is quickly waning as the dominant religious identity of a culture. And most nations of the world have either heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, or there are Christians already there sharing that message. So it becomes a struggle. And what I personally struggle with and believe that Gates Presbyterian Church and most Christian churches in the global West struggle with is, how are the ways that we are being sent in the world today changing? Taylor Burton Edwards is the director of worship resources for the United Methodist Church. And his voice joins other scholars and theologians in reminding us that everywhere in the global North and West, Christianity is on the decline. This isn't just because populations of these regions are becoming increasingly ethnically diverse, though that is happening too. It is because these global North and West Christian cultures have a long history of simply presuming everyone around them is a Christian. Because for centuries, as a matter of cultural fact and often civil law, they were. Mission was something one did to reach those people out there, over there in other countries. We already had the gospel, he continues, and we could rely on our culture and even our governments in some instances to ensure it stayed that way. And despite what some media outlets might lead you to believe, we no longer rely on a culture or our government to enforce one interpretation of the gospel message to the people. Whether we want to recognize it or not, the context in which we are called and sent into the world today by God is changing very quickly. And there are many congregations and individuals spending their time trying to figure out, how can we just keep on living our lives like we always have and assume it'll be enough to get us through? And as we are seeing from our own denominational statistics, this method is not exactly working. Another answer, however, might be that we pay attention, that we see this is a different world, one that the church as we have known it is not necessarily designed for, and realize that we are, again, in need of Jesus to send us out, to proclaim the reality of God's kingdom that is in our daily lives wherever we go. And this is challenging. It might be making you feel a bit uncomfortable. You might have questions about what all of this means. And the truth of the matter is that most of our churches from our childhood and some of us into adulthood have not necessarily prepared us with the skills to be sent out into this world in which we live today to do the work of God. And though it's difficult for me to admit, because I'm a pastor and some assume that I have all the answers on how to do this, I really struggle with it too. My faith was formed by a wonderful Presbyterian congregation That church did a fabulous job sending out their youth and others on mission trips, teaching us to listen to communities where we serve, to work in partnership, not assume we had all the right answers, receive hospitality in unfamiliar settings, and share the peace of Christ. The challenge I faced in coming back to my church after those trips was that my experiences out there did not translate to my experiences in the church. Out there, the focus was on serving, doing the work of Jesus. But once we came back, we shared those stories. There was great joy and celebration. And then we went on, getting back to focusing on what the business of the church was. And that was to get other people to come on in and join our congregation. It was in church that I learned how to measure success or failure by how many people are with us in worship, how much money they give, and whether these two metrics, attendance and dollars, are going up or going down. And it's fine. It's great that you go out and serve all of those people. But at the end of the day, when you come back here, what matters, what we talk about, what we focus on, is who shows up. Part of us still clings to a desire that when Jesus sends us out, the goal will be to bring folks back in, to be part of us. When the 70 came back to Jesus, they didn't come back with anyone. They came back astonished, rejoicing in all that God had done through them. They came back transformed as a community by the communities in which they served and energized with this new imagination of what it means to be the people of God together. When we take a moment and return to the stories of Scripture, all the stories of Scripture, we learn about those communities, many communities, who go out and come back. And we're challenged to leave behind some of the assumptions about what we might think that our goal, our job should be, to be transformed by the love and the peace of Christ. Jesus says, "This is the kingdom of God. It's right in front of you. And that's what it's about." And it's challenging to open ourselves and to let go of what we might think, what we think might happen, and what God has in store. We listen. We share the stories. We receive hospitality. And we go. We go to places like Jamaica and Guatemala, to the soup kitchen in the city, a Habitat house, or wherever the sign-up sheet on the kiosk might take you. And it also will take us to the soccer field, our places of work and home, of learning, the grocery store, the neighbor's backyard, the kingdom of God, the mission field. It's all around us. And Jesus is sending us out. All of us who seek to follow him wherever we go, in all that we do, we are sent to be the kingdom of God together. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. Whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reason you are here, you are invited to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurts you bear, know our host is the one who teaches, who heals, and who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were open and they recognized him. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Holy God, it is right to give our thanks and praise to you. It is right and good and joyful. In ancient days, O God, you created us in your image and invited us to live as your people upon this earth. And when we fell short and acted out of fear and doubt, you held out your hand and walked with us out of the garden and into every corner of the earth. And you continue to extend the hand of your steadfast love, faithful with us always, even when we turn away. In the words of the prophets, you challenged us to live in love and righteousness, but we shrunk away from the challenge. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, as love for a love-starved world. From the earliest days of creation to the most recent of days, you offer to be faithful to us still. And so we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, who meets us alongside the river, places of prayer, in our homes and our everyday lives. Hearing our cries for help in the dark nights of the soul, you sent your Son Jesus to bring the light of your love, sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was friend of sinners. He shared your feast, waiting along with the world for justice, renewal, and new life. His life, his words, his death, his resurrection are mysteries we may not understand completely, but which we will proclaim with faith.
Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Holy Spirit, move upon the gift of creation offered to us here at this table, that the bread may heal all brokenness, that the cup might fill us with grace. Then when you stand at the crossroad where injustice and oppression meet, may we join your compassionate voice in calling for life and hope for all of your children. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy people, on this first day of the week, and in all the days to come. Amen.
We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength for the journey. He took common bread and he made it holy, as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again as he did, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in a similar way, he took his cup and poured the wine into it. And said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me."
We break bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life and faith to hope anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. If our communion servers would come forward. And everyone is invited, as you are comfortable, to come forward, to tear a piece of the bread, to dip in the cup, and return to your seats. Let us celebrate with joy and thanksgiving. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we, in turn, open our lives to be bearers of the good news wherever you may send us and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
I invite you to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concerns.
Bonnie Beckett, our daughter Christine is taking Tommy to the Boy Scout camp today and then going to a Sweet 16 party for her best friend's daughter. She asked me to ask you for prayers for her assistant at school who is having health problems. Her name is Barbara Boyd, or Miss Barbara, as everybody there knows her.
Just want to let you know that the 12 people that went on the Guatemala mission trip, we all returned safely. Last night we got into the airport, although some of our luggage didn't yet, but it's somewhere between Atlanta and here. We were overwhelmed by the generosity of the people that we came and encountered with in Guatemala, the generosity and the love that they showed to us. I think all of us came back transformed.
Ed Coons, I'd ask for your continued prayers for my nephew Nathan, who is hopefully going to undergo a kidney transplant. It was canceled for the third time. Nathan's blood pressure was a little high. I can't imagine that after three cancellations. Anyway, it's hopefully on for this coming Tuesday. Please send your prayers.
Gretchen Green. First, I want to thank all the people who were praying for my son who broke his neck on a bicycle accident a couple weeks ago. He's doing very well. Also, thank you for those that knew my granddaughter sprained her ankle a couple weeks ago, still was able to go to Savannah, Georgia, where she participated in the National YMCA gymnastic meet and won fourth prize in her class for the vault with a sprained ankle. And finally, we seem to be having our share of breaks or sprains. My grandson broke his ankle last week, but the orthopedic doctor says it is a mild break and then nothing shifted, and he can still go to the National Boy Scout Jamboree leaving Saturday. So I ask prayers to get him through a week and a half when he knows he's not supposed to run or jump, but just behave. Thank you.
Tammy Tackling. I just asked for prayers. My stepdad lost his second brother this past week. So he lost both his brothers in the last couple months. So just prayers for him. Thanks.
Keisha Binko, I just have a joy to share this week. We get the privilege to celebrate Aaliyah's Korean heritage at Camp Chingu Korean Culture Camp. And we are also hosting two young 21-year-olds from South Korea who will be coming here to help with the camp. So that's a joy in our lives this week.
Amen.
Our great-granddaughter became salutatorian of her graduating class.
Congratulations.
Marge Westfall, I'm glad I could be here today to hear that beautiful music. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Sue Mancini, I have a joy. On July 2nd, my husband and I celebrated our 53rd anniversary. Four kids, eight grandkids, one great-grandbaby in those 53 years. Thank you.
Great job.
Congratulations.
Speaking of mission, I'll be selling Jamaican mission dinner tickets after service, so please come and see me. Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all nations, you call us to go into your world to bring in sacred hope that justice will thrive and peace will prevail. We give you thanks that you empower us for this task, encouraging, nurturing, even feeding us with your holy meal. This week we celebrate the history of our nation. We thank you for our foreparents who embraced equality and modeled courage. Help us to walk in their footsteps, remembering the needs of all people, responding to the common good of all people. And we thank you for the brave men and women who have fought for our liberties on battlefronts. May we take their sacrifices deeply serious, making good choices for generations to come. Inspire our leaders to put aside their own agendas and listen to the cries of our nation's people. Help them to remember the oaths they have taken and the commitments they've made. And as we seek to be the self-governing nation that our foreparents envisioned, we also pray for our brothers and sisters in Egypt as they experience the birthing pains of democracy. Support them in their struggles. Guide them in their direction. And we come to you today thanking you that our mission travelers to Guatemala have safely returned. We rejoice in the gracious hospitality that was extended to them and to the many opportunities they had. We ask you to open our ears to the transforming lessons of their trip. Embolden us as we seek the next step of support of human rights as we work with our partners in Guatemala. And we too pray too for those in our own lives who need your strength. May they find security in the ever-open arms of your embrace. May we find ways to channel your love to others. And we ask that you hear us now as together we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our guests forward.
We offer our gifts to God, who claims us as children, who names us beloved, who celebrates our presence. We offer our gifts to a loving God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
That loves us, Jesus Christ, who saves us, and the Holy Spirit, who guides us on our way now and always. Alleluia. Amen.